I love that we could leave these balloons up. Didn't you? I mean, what an amazing time we had yesterday. Who was there yesterday? Most of you. It was an amazing, amazing celebration. And if you didn't get to see it, I believe that we recorded it and it's going to be online so you can see it. It was an amazing time. It was a time of joy. I want to do a shout out to Laura DeStefano and her team. You know, that was Who could think that you could turn a 20-some-year-old building into something that looked just so magical and it was amazing. So lots and lots of work went into it. I know people were up late into the night before, and were there early the next day to blow up all those balloons. Well, I know that the teens helped on those too, so it was just so many people made that just such a beautiful and special time together, those who prepared for us, to just to rest and listen and soak in what a great God we have and what an incredible congregation family we have here. And just the tears that many people expressed as you look through and listen to the stories, as you saw people that perhaps you knew many, many years ago, people who have gone on ahead of us to be with the Lord, people that we're looking forward to seeing someday in heaven, the changed lives, kids we saw who are now leading in the church, the memories that we had, and people came to hear, and they were just, many, many people expressed to me like, wow, I didn't know those things. I didn't know that. In fact, I was learning things as Rick Marsh was sharing with us yesterday as well, and about the perseverance and the sacrifice of people. You know, the fact that he was just an accountant on his third child, and he's taking the bus to his offices each day so they could just live off of one car so they could sacrifice for us so that we could have this place, so that we could have this time together, this building, this facility. And the miracles that God did, the opposition that we faced, the miracles of water, the miracles of how money came in for us. And for many, they said, I wish I had been there for more of those early years. I wish I could have really experienced those things. And I would say, yes, you do wish that. And you probably, if you felt it with us, you'd be glad that you didn't. But it was the highs and the lows were amazing. And the story of the people who started this church and how they moved long distances, some of them, and how they gave up whole days on Sunday in order to set up a church building and sacrifice. And these are the people who honored God, you know, with their time, with their talents, with their treasures. They were sacrificing for us. They were sacrificing for Jesus. They were honoring the call that God had given to them to be a part of not only building a building, but laying a foundation for us. So in days to come, we have a foundation that's already there so that we can go beyond and do greater things than they were able to do in their season of life. And so we are able to honor those people who moved here, who labored here, who sacrificially gave here. They laid that foundation and they honored God with their lives. And my message today is, who are you honoring with your life? Who are you honoring with your life? And so each one of us has time. We have strength and talents and gifts. And we have treasure. And how are we investing those things? Who do we honor with those things? And my text this morning is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And it says this: honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. And my big idea for the message today is how we distribute our money reveals who we honor. How we distribute our money reveals who we honor. So let's pray. Lord, I'm like all of us who, when the message or a topic or a verse about money comes up, I can have a check right away, like, oh no, I thought we were done. But you are a generous God. You are a giving God. And as we follow with you, as we follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, you showed us what an abundant life looks like. It's not a life living for ourselves, for our protection, for our treasures, for our enjoyments. It's about a life that's given out fully to your glory and your kingdom, your purposes. And you invite us in, Lord, and you supply us with all that we need in order to be in step with your callings. And the things that you do in our lives are because we've lived by faith. And not just received, but we've been able to give because of what we've received. And so, Lord, as you're speaking to each one of us at various places along the way, and we're at different places in our understanding, our faith, Lord, would you send your peace, fill us with your joy, make adjustments, Lord, if there need to be adjustments in our minds and our heart, help us to believe your word, and help us to join you in this amazing adventure of time that we have here in this earth, because night is coming when no one can work. The day is coming when we will be hearing your words of good and faithful servant, and we are laying before you our lives at this time. So we offer ourselves to you freshly. Lord, give us ears to hear your word today and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I have 3 points I want to go through in our time together. The first, and each of these points talks about how we honor God, especially as it relates to our treasures. But it's not just our treasures, but this text gives us that understanding. But the foundational even to anything about our treasures is how we think about God. So our first point here is, I honor God when I believe he is good. I didn't write this verse on the screen here, but in Hebrews chapter 6, it says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. The foundation of giving or of living, sacrificing for Jesus won't happen if we don't really believe who he is. If we don't understand because we've not heard, but maybe many of us here and we're struggling to actually believe what he says about himself. And so the hope of really honoring God with anything of our lives, especially in our giving, it really relates to who do you think God is? Who is he? And we're going to look at a few verses, but the first one here is he's good. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He said, look, you're a good father. You're a good mother. If your child was hungry and he came up to you and he asked you for bread, are you going to give him a stone? If he asked for fish, would you give him a serpent? You wouldn't even think about that. That wouldn't even be a category you'd even be thinking. You wouldn't even go to that place. And he says, listen, if you, as a parent, give good things to your children, your father is good. And you really, in comparison, We're evil compared to him because we're so self-serving. We look out for ourselves. We forget about others. We're really not thinking like God would think in terms of his consistency, his generosity, his faithfulness, his selflessness, his willing to empty himself for your good and my good. Can you imagine, if your father, you've had a good track record where he's provided for you, but he still doesn't believe that you're going to give him good things, your child. And so he says, well, I know, Dad, you said you're going to do something good for me, but I'm just not sure I really believe that. I really don't know if you really will keep giving me good things, if you'll keep looking out for my needs. But I think that we can be that way with God, can't we? We may know it in our theology, we may know it in our mind, but in our hearts, do you know how good of a father he is? We sing about it. We talk about it. In our studies together, we affirm it. But at our core, if I really were to honor him, I would believe him. No, your father is good, and he gives good things to you. Your father is in heaven, will give good things to those who ask him. And secondly, I honor God when I believe he's faithful. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:19 said, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, he has riches and he has riches to give from. He owns everything. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he made it all. Everything that there is in heavens and on earth, it all is from him. He created it all in a word, with a word. This whole topic of giving isn't because God needs your help, because he's kind of running short this month. You know, God has an incredible supply of riches and glory in heaven. And the Apostle Paul was assuring the believers there in Philippi, he says, my God will supply every need of yours. Now, faith comes by hearing. And sometimes what we need is not a new truth. We need to believe the truth that we know, we've heard. And sometimes we've believed the fearful lies so long, or we keep rehearsing those, but what if this, and what if that, and what if he doesn't come through this time? And so we spend so much time feeding our soul, feeding our mind with a fearful lie that we're not really holding fast to what's true. And we don't take captive those lies and judge them and say, no, wait a minute. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I love what David said in the Psalms. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. I've never seen that. He was the king over kingdom. We honor God when we say, your ways are true. Your word is true. No matter what anybody else says, and even in my own circumstances, if it doesn't look possible, know that your God is faithful. And thirdly, I honor God when I believe that he's generous. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 said, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? How is that possible? If God gave the most precious thing in the universe for you and me while we were yet sinners, how will he not also graciously provide all things? It doesn't make any sense at all that we would think, okay, I was your enemy, I wasn't faithful to you, I didn't pursue you, I didn't read my Bible. Whatever your mind says, whatever your excuse says, I know that you gave your son, but I don't think you're going to do this for me. I don't think you're going to care for me now. That doesn't make any sense. And yet, some of us believe that at times. We honor him when we recognize what is true. Jesus was sent by the Father, but Jesus said, I lay my life down on my own accord. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own, of my own accord, my own free will, my own desire for you. We celebrate that all the time. We count on that for our salvation. But that also is the appeal to us. This gospel, this good news, that God loved you and me so much, those who put your hope in him, he gave his son for you. How is it possible that we could think that he's not going to be generous to you in other ways, in other things? How, it says, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously picks up that idea that you're not earning this blessing. You're not earning his favor. You're not earning these things. This is all because Christ has made you one with him. This is because you are now in the family of God. You are a co-heir with Christ. And we already saw what kind of a father is. He's a good father. Brothers and sisters, if we would just, we like to learn new things all the time, and we like to study new stuff all the time, and that's, there's blessing with that. But can I encourage you to camp in the basics? Because these are just a few. There are so many verses that would remind you of who God is to you and to us. That as you believe in him, you can extend faith in other areas. Like we said in Hebrews 6, without faith you can't please him. So the foundation of that is everyone who comes to God must believe that he is. He is God, but he's also good. He's also faithful to you. He's also generous to you. And as those truths are held in faith, then anything he asks us to do is not too difficult. The way that we live our Christian life is out of who we believe in and where we trust and what we think is reliable to put our hope in. And so if we're not trusting God, if we're not trusting his promises, if we dismiss the past and his testimonies, and we dismiss all these things, we're left with ourselves to trust in. Or the government, or your job, or anything else that you be tempted to put your hope in, your bank account. And money has to be consistently in the Word, one of those things that our hearts rival with God. We hold to one and we despise the other. We camp and hope on one thing and we don't hold on to the other anymore. And money is the one that's always talked about in the scriptures. And that's why, you know, it's amazing when you see these people, brand new Christians come to Christ in the, you know, Zacchaeus in the Bible. And as soon as they believe in him and they say, this is who you are, I believe in you. It's like, okay, give away half of what I have. Just makes sense. I have God's son. We honor him when we believe in who he is. And secondly, I honor God when I give God to God first. I honor God when I give to God first. In our verse here, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first fruits of all your produce. First fruits means the Old Testament, that was their tithe that they would bring. They would get their crop in, and from the first fruits, they would take that first fruits and they would give that to God. And it says, of all your produce. You know, for them, that was their best. You know, the first fruits that came in was really their best. It wasn't the leftover, you know, vegetables that weren't looking too good at the end of the crop. It says, well, let's give that one to God. And before you look out for your own desires and even needs, because we saw that God's the one that we're looking to for our needs, before other desires and needs kind of take away that first portion, he says, I want you to honor me first with that. In faith, I'll have enough. It doesn't take faith to wait until you've paid everything out and you've bought everything you wanted and so forth and say, whatever we've got left, that's what we give to God. Because if you really want to live a life that honors God, you give actually first to God. Billy Graham said this. He said, give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook and I'll tell you where their heart is. You know, we have a way of kind of seeing what our greatest desires are, our greatest choices are, what we really honor the most. And there are valid things for us to honor. You know, we should take care of our families. We should take care of responsibilities that we have. You know, but God wants to put to death that love of money or that self-sufficiency, or self-reliance in us. And so the very first thing he puts his finger on is this money thing. And he says, you know, I can see where your heart is. I can see what you honor the most. I can see where your priorities lie. I can see what your time is given to generally. Because it's reflected in those things, like the checkbook. But I honor God also when I give God willingly, when I give to God willingly. Proverbs 11:24 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. And first of all, I want to just camp on this. There's one who gives freely. A lot of us, you know, we've been brought up in families or we've been brought up in churches where it's talked about, you know, giving our tithe and giving regularly, giving on time. And so, but the problem is many of us, you know, kind of give reluctantly or grudgingly or I know that's the right thing to do, so I guess I better give, you know, or something like that. And it says here that, you know, one gives freely. We'll see in an upcoming verse, there's a verse that says, give it cheerfully, hilariously. You know, like, wow, we get to give again? And I think that kind of reflects the heart of God, by the way, because I think that God is a cheerful giver himself. But where is our heart in giving? Because if I really believe that God is good, that God is going to be generous to me, that God is going to be faithful to me, giving is just fun. It's really fun. It's really very satisfying. We'll see later on, you know, Jesus said that it's better, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But look how God doesn't let you get away with just being the giver in this, because it says the one who gives freely gets all the more richer, and it says, but the one who withholds only suffers want. Have you learned the lesson that you actually will be richer on your 90% than on your 100% of what you have? Like if you understand what the Bible talks about with this, it says you will actually get further ahead if you follow these principles. Because God, and again, God's in this to get your heart, to have you live by faith, to have you honor him, because his heart is to bless that. And so, as a result of not giving, many people find that their vehicles are breaking down more often. You know, that the people who are generous over there, like they're getting these huge inheritances or blessings or things given to them or promotions and stuff like that. And I'm not trying to predict to you what's going to happen, because every one of us is on a different timetable of what God is doing. But let me just say, in raising 7 kids, 5 daughters with weddings, colleges, braces, insurance, all those things, God has always been generous to me. And I never outgave God. And God either gave me the means, the financial means, or he gave me services and things that I didn't expect were going to come in and took care of us. He's just faithful. He's just faithful that way. But he will not let you outgive him. I'll tell you that. And if you don't find it to tally up right now, I'll let you know in heaven you'll get to see what it came with interest on there. One gives freely or willingly or cheerfully and grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give. And so that implies that there's a responsibility or an obligation to give something in that situation. One of those might be that I believe is a tithe, and only suffers want, but whoever brings blessing will be enriched. Whoever waters will himself be watered. And then the next one, I honor God when I give to God rightly. You know, the Bible says that we are stewards. And again, I have a verse for you that's not in this on the screen here, but Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. God owns everything and he owns you. And you and I can be tempted to think, well, this is my portion, God. You know, I give you your due. I'll give you your tithe. I'll give you your portion. The rest of is for me. This is all mine. But the Bible never gives that truth. That's not true at all in the scriptures. The scripture says everything is God's. And whatever you've earned, whatever you've been given, whatever you have, that's still God's. That belongs to God. And so we're on an adventure with God because it's going to be fun. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be challenging at other times, you know. But the reality is everything that we have, even our own bodies and our health, don't belong to us. You are a steward. That means you need to inquire of your master, how do you want me to spend this? How do you want me to take care of this? How do I live my life, you know, being your steward? And so in the book of Malachi, God's addressing his people, and it's kind of a harsh rebuke here, but it says in Malachi chapter 3, it says, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and then not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. He's looking at their heart situation. Like, what's going on with you? You need to come back to me. But you say, how shall we return? And then God says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there might be food in my house, and thereby test me, put me to the test. This is the only place in scriptures I'm aware that God tells the people, put me to the test here. It says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you a blessing until there's no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. You see, God will allow difficulties in our lives because he wants your heart. And he knows that money is a rival. And he's jealous. He's a jealous God. He's not angry so much as he's longing to have you, because he died for us. He purchased us. He made us and then he purchased us again with the blood of his son. And so if we're going to kind of run after other idols, run after other things, he's going to let certain consequences to draw you back to himself. He says, you're robbing me. You've turned aside from my statutes. You've not kept them. I want you to return to me. Lord, what are you talking about? You're not giving to me anymore. You haven't been giving. That was my money, and you're using it on your own things. And, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to say this so much as to put a guilt on us, but an observation from God. It matters that you honor him. It matters that he's first place. It matters to him that you love him. It matters to him that you are willing to be an obedient servant to him. And so it's the right thing for us to honor God with our resources. And some of us, you know, may want to just kind of beg off that and say, yeah, but, you know, I do so many other things for God. You know, I serve a lot. I do these things. And I appreciate that, and God appreciates that. But when you have to deal with this verses about first fruits, it's kind of hard to say, God, I didn't have place for you anymore because things are tough. So I honor God by what I believe about him. I honor God with what I give to God first, with his tithes. And I honor God with, number three, when I give from my prosperity. Generously. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So with your wealth. C.S. Lewis said this. I think this was helpful. Like, what does that mean, Lord? How, you know, I give this or I give that. And he says, well, is that what he's talking about here? C.S. Lewis said this. He said, I do not believe that one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than you can spare. In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc., is up to the standard common among those with the same income as our own, we're probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say that they're too small. There ought to be things that we would like to do and cannot do because our charitable expenditures excludes them. I think that there's a sacrifice that everyone should make. And then there's, you know, the New Testament, if you want to call the New Testament out and just say, yeah, what about the giving in the New Testament? You know, there's no amounts to give. But every example Jesus, or every example the book of Acts and people highlight are people who are giving sacrificially. Every example. So you're not going to find in the season of grace, in the time of grace since the church came into existence, where people were just kind of taking care of themselves and not being sacrificial, not giving. That's not New Testament giving either. I honor God when I give out of my prosperity. And prosperity is it's a moving target for some of us, you know. Seasons of life, maybe things are easier than other seasons of life. But we want to honor the Lord. And that's between you and God, by the way. You know, I don't know what your giving is. I don't ask that question as a pastor. I can look you in the face and you don't have to tell me anything about your giving, because I don't look at that. Because I want to be free from that to serve you. But I want to invite you back to the adventure. I want to invite you back to the adventure of having a gracious, good, faithful, generous God who loves you and is committed to your growth and to your eternal blessing, as well as even in this life. And in my prosperity, I can look at this verse here, Acts chapter 20, confidently. In all things this is they're talking in the book of Acts, the disciples, it says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I mean, I think I've experienced that at Christmas time, haven't you? Like, the older I get, the more I don't really need your stuff. I don't need things. But, do I get a lot of joy of being able to give. You know, whether it's mission opportunities or various things, I love to be able to give. There's such a greater fulfillment in giving than receiving. And Jesus said, these were his words, he said that. And to believe that, you know, sometimes it is a challenge. Sometimes you are stepping out like, I don't know if I have enough to give to that, but I think God has told me this is what I'm supposed to give. And I step out and God supplies it. And then I'm like, wow, that was so fun. It's so fun to live by faith. It is so fun to be generous. And I know that you are an incredibly generous church. And I think that I'm kind of preaching to the choir, generally speaking here, because as Rick reminded us yesterday, this is a very generous church, and we are so grateful for that. But I want you to excel still more, because I know that in heaven, you will regret being sacrificial for this moment of time that we have called life here on earth. We won't regret it. We won't say, man, I wish I could have had another coffee each week, you know. I wish I could have gone out to eat a little bit more. I'm not robbing you of that. I don't want you to feel robbed by that, but I just want to stir you on to love and good deeds. And then I honor God when I give from my prosperity mercifully and missionally. Matthew 6, 31, 33, it says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all those things. They don't have the God that we have. So they're the ones worried about all that stuff. The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Make it your first priority to get His kingdom spreading. Make it your purpose to take care of the people who need help. Look for the needs of others and look at ways, you know, be open to the Holy Spirit to prompt you to do good things in those situations. Be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. Be about His kingdom purposes. Be about His righteousness. Be about those things. Again, a big idea. How we distribute our money reveals who we honor. How we distribute our money reveals who we honor. And again, some of those things that God calls you to, providing for your family, providing for your children, providing for your wife, you know, caring for those things, those are honorable things. Those are righteous things. John Wesley said this. I think this is helpful too. Because when I think of John Wesley, I think of this quote at times. Earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, invest as much as you can, and give as much as you can. I think that if you think about that, that's very, very helpful. Because I think, you know, we've just come out of a massive building campaign. And like, oh, really, Greg, you're going to talk about giving now? You know, I was ready for a break. Please be released. Please be released. If you've given out and God says it's time for you to save, save. If it's time to get another car, get another car. If it's time for you to start preparing more for retirement or your kids' education, be released to do those things and yet be fervent for God and in step with the Holy Spirit. So earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, invest as much as you can, and give as much as you can. You know, you can't take it with you. You can't. But you can send it ahead. You can send it ahead. You can't. There's no hearse being drawn, what they say, taking a U-Haul behind him on the way to the gravesite. There's nobody's got a U-Haul attached to the thing. So you might as well send it ahead of you if you really want to be rich in heaven. But I'm jealous that you'll be rich in heaven. I really am. So I'm not going to judge you on anything you want to do, buy or whatever. That's fine. But I do want you to invest in the things that will last beyond this life. I want you to be rich in the things that God would have us be rich in. I want us to care for people. I want us to expand the gospel. I think that building this building is amazing and we needed it. I think, for what we're doing. But this is a foundation. This is a launching point. This is just so now that we can really do things for the kingdom of God, and our greatest deeds are probably still in front of us. Not in the past. The greatest works of Grace Community Church were not just the amazing testimonies of God providing for us to get this building off the ground, you know, and to build it. And that's an incredible work of God. Now we have the opportunity to be generous beyond that in ways that we were strapped and we couldn't before. And so there are missionaries coming out of this church. There are church pastors coming out of this church. There are movements of God that are going to be thrust out because of this church. And we're not going to just say, these were the good old days and that was our best. Some of you are going to be challenged in faith in ways that I never was. And this foundation was not so that we can all just lay back and be satisfied with what God has done. This is now for you to take the baton and run. Run in such a way as to win. And just be obedient to his ways and his word and his spirit as he leads you. And anticipate that this life is not your home. This world is not it. This isn't all there is. And so you may not get to take advantage fully of everything that you could have had, even though you have some extra monies in your account. Be eager to be a vessel of God, to be a means of God, to further his kingdom, and to bless people around you. And so I do have a missions moment for you today. I have an application for a new opportunity for you today, but only for those who God is calling to do this. And it's this. And I want to start with this verse first. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 says this. It says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. I love this verse. God is able to make all grace abound to you. That's speaking in this context, it was talking about money. God's able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And so we're starting a brand new fund today. And it's called the Abundant Grace Fund. And we've got a little picture here. Thanks to Brendan Beal, gave us another little shot here. And think about that overflowing. That's God's grace being poured out on us to be a blessing and to accomplish things. And the way this fund is going to work, I'm not going to do any pledging for this, you know. This is going to be a way that you can give regularly. And each year, we as pastors will have sought the Lord as what is it that God we think God may want us to do beyond our tithe, beyond the building things that we've got going on. What is it that we really feel like he wants us to do that are beyond that we have in our regular budget expenses here? And this next year, we have two things, two projects. Slide. There we go. Two projects. We're going to update all our church bathrooms, which that doesn't sound too exciting, but it is important, especially since we have people in here like almost every week fixing our toilets and stuff like that. And the second thing is we're going to help purchase land and help build a building in the Ladrillada, the brickyard at church in Mexico. And let me tell you about both of those things. I think that's exciting. You didn't clap for the bathrooms, though. Somebody's got to clap. Well, you can tell me later on if you're really happy about that. Matt's clapping. Okay. So let me talk about those two things. Abundant Grace Fund. Update on all church bathrooms, all the counters, all the walls, as well as replacing all the toilets and the supply lines to every bathroom, including the kids one. That's going to cost about $90,000. Is that on there? There we go. It's going to cost about $90,000. We had already budgeted to get working on that this year, $40,000. So the $40,000 is in our budget already, but we need $50,000 more if we can get it all done this year. Now, we have a couple other projects that need to get done eventually, you know, our sprinkler system and parking lot eventually. But this is the one we feel like is most important. So this will be our first project that this Abundant Grace Fund will go towards. And the second thing is what you're a little bit more excited about, which I am too, but off the record. Purchase land and help build a building for the Lotería de la Brickyard Church in Mexico. And I have a lot to say about this, so I'll probably have to do a missions moments coming up. But basically, there's two sites that they're looking at. And it was so God, like in December, Chris Nickerson, who runs Lightshine down there with the people group that we're reaching out to, again, as a reminder, 7 years ago, there was no witness of Christ. 7 years later, there's a house church there, growing, thriving group of people, hungry and eager to go up into the mountains and reach this unreached people group with the gospel. And so I got an email from Chris in December saying, hey, please be praying. Us and Epic are the two churches that work with the Lotería, with the Brickyard Colonia. He said, we've got this incredible opportunity. And I got to tell you this story, but I can't because of time. But I will tell you soon. But there was this incredible opportunity came up with to buy some land. And there were six plots together, which would be more than sufficient for the church building. It's $45,000, and we're holding it right now. We want you to pray. We want your church to pray. I've talked with our pastors. We're on board with this. And then since that time, even another greater opportunity came up. Could we pull up this picture here? You could see some of you have been to Lightshine and down in Mexico, but you could see the community. This is all in Spanish, by the way. So if you speak Spanish, you're ahead of me on this one. But you see a kind of a white building here to the right of the square. That is the community center that they currently are using, although they get bumped from there a lot. The lot, the square next to it, just possibly came up, and it may be cheaper, and it's probably a lot more space. And so I was supposed to hear something this last week, and I didn't get the information yet, but we're about ready to get a confirmation. So they're either going to get the six units that are for $45,000, or they're going to negotiate for a larger portion, which will be right in the middle of the Tatamata people, which will be an incredible opportunity. It's going to be a launching pad to get up into the mountains to reach an unreached people, which God is calling us to be a part of reaching this unreached people group. So that's what we're going to give to this year. We're going to give to this Abundant Grace Fund. And let me call the worship team up here, but let me give you a couple more verses just to think about as we close. 2 Chronicles 16:9, which is not in my notes up here. It says this, it says, for the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth, go to and fro throughout the earth, that he might strongly support the one whose heart is completely his. You know, God is looking all the time, and he's watching our hearts. He can see to our hearts. And he's looking for the ones whose hearts are completely his. And he's going to come across and come over that person and strengthen them and bless them so that they can do incredible works for him. He's looking for our hearts. He's looking at our hearts. So that he can strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And I'm so excited that next weekend we're doing a conference. All in. Because I want God to find that here. People whose hearts are completely his, who are totally sold out for him. Because if we're sold out for him, his promise is, I'm going to strongly support you because you're going to do my work. 2 Corinthians 9:10-11, you think, Lord, I don't have anything to give. I don't have any money. You know my situation, how challenging it is. I love this promise. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, so he gives us sowing seed and for our own needs, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of righteousness, and you'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. So we would love to do greater works as a church. And I want to hand off that baton at some point. I will, unless Jesus comes back. But I want to cheer you. I want to be with you. I want to do as much as I can, as long as I can. But church, he's called us to be more than this, than we are here. And we've seen amazing things, but he wants to do even greater things in days to come. So let me pray. Lord, what an adventure you've called us to. It's not easy. We feel our weakness. We feel our inadequacies. We have fears. We have doubts. But you have accepted us in Jesus Christ. You've accepted us in your beloved. There is no condemnation here today. There's only opportunities as children to grow in our faith, and grow in our deeds of faith. Give us vision. Give us visions. Just raise up visionaries. Raise up workers. Raise up young men and women, and even some of us who are a little bit older. Lord, raise us up to see the great works that you've prepared for us to walk in. And Lord, we want you to be glorified in all these things. We give you what we have, Lord. We just got a couple loaves and some fish. But you can do great things through your people. And so we present ourselves freshly to you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.